I'm Joe Biden, the senator from Delaware, and I'm unsure if I approve this message.
For God so loved you, you know the thing. He gave us only well, anyway. Let he who hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Turn a nation to depression. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. End of quote. Repeat the line. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Believe me, I was there. I used to drive an 18-wheeler through the Garden of Eden. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you dog-faced pony soldiers. Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. And then he said, listen, fat, so now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Mexico. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, then you ain't black. Until your children come into me. Because when I got hairy legs, it turned blonde in the sun. Kids used to come up and reach out the pool and work my leg down so it was straight. And once the hair come back up again.
And now from Times Square, it's That Kevin Show.
Somewhere in the bowels of the city that never sleeps.
Kevin McCullough, radio host with Salem Media.
Is a man also not sleeping.
Syndicated radio talk show host Kevin McCullough.
And that guy would like a word with you.
Many of you know him from as Votes for Damas.
Of course That Kevin Show is going to be great. The only thing that could be greater, of course, would be That Donald Show. But we don't have that, so we have That Kevin Show.
Featuring the music of Dick Tunney and the Dream in Color Orchestra. Tonight, he's a tough guy, but certainly no Hulk, J. Hogan Diddley. Debuting sketch comedy from the Babylon Bee, Inside Biden's Brain. She's an unsung hero, Helen Smallbone. And back for their fifth appearance in the New Music Spotlight, it's For King and Country. And now, from Times Square, where his new food cart idea, the bacon-stuffed falafel, was recently banned by Columbia University, here's the
I don't think that that's even remotely true. I've never introduced any food cart items to Columbia University or anywhere else, so they've, I don't know... Why do you do that to me? You just say things that are patently... You're going to say, like, I'm the author of the Satanic Verses or something next. It's going to be... Then I have people wanting to encamp upon my studio space. It's crazy. Anyway, Kevin McCullough, welcome to Saturday. No, it's gotten pretty out of hand. Have you noticed? Columbia University spent this week explaining why... After these rabble-rousers came and encamped and screamed, you know, such wholesome messages as death to Jews and death to America, Columbia University showed the spinal fortitude of saying, okay, we're going to go virtual for the rest of the semester, only to be outdone by the University of Southern California, which yesterday said, okay, we're just going to cancel graduation altogether. What is wrong with these people? I don't know where you were raised, but I will tell you this. If I had even for a moment thought about responding to some sort of adult, any adult in my near existence when I was a kid, the way these kids speak to the faculty, the police officers, the elected leaders that are overseeing these situations, if I had even thought about speaking to them in this way, I would have been picking my teeth up from off the floor across the room. Now, I'm not. I'm being somewhat facetious here. My parents were not parents of violence, but there was no question in the back of my mind as to whether or not I had the right, as some sort of snot-nosed Lily nothing, know nothing, from the middle of nowhere. I had no right to burn things down or throw bottles at police or to threaten to kill people based on their religion or their race. I do not know what happened to the tough guys in America and the men who are going to stand up for what is right. But I'll tell you one thing. I wish we had another Ronaldus Maximus. Take a look at how Ronald Reagan handled these types.
Who told you for days in advance that if the university sought to go ahead with that construction, they were going to physically destroy the university.
Why did you negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
The university is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
I'm sick and tired of the argument about whether some effort to enforce law and order is going to escalate anything at all. Plain truth of the matter is this has to stop, and it has to stop like the day before yesterday.
I would like to propose that the issue is that on the campuses, you who are adults, you who are entrusted with those young people and their guidance, have a responsibility to make it plain to them from the very beginning that you yourselves do not tolerate the kind of conduct that has led to the burning of Wheeler Hall, that has led to two murders on the campus of UCLA.
You created an atmosphere on the campus where no one wants to listen.
You are a liar.
I have read and I have been questioned since I've been here about certain demonstrations against my coming. And I would like to say just one thing. And to those who demonstrate so, I wonder if they have ever asked themselves that if they should have the kind of government they apparently seek, no one would ever be able to do what they're doing again.
Anything, and I have a feeling that if you check closely on some of the more militant of those leaders who are advocating violence, you'll find that if you settle whatever issue it is that has them worked up today, they'll be back tomorrow morning with another issue. But I think the time has come for them to make a choice and to decide whether they want to continue to even tolerate these false prophets in their midst who are, if anything, destroying their own community.
I don't think that taking to the streets and rioting and disorder has ever solved anything or ever will.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right, we cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters.
Recently, in some places in the nation, there's been a disturbing reoccurrence of bigotry and violence. If I may, from the platform of this organization, known for its tolerance, I would like to address a few remarks to those groups who still adhere to senseless racism and religious prejudice. To those individuals who persist in such hateful behavior, if I were speaking to them instead of to you, I would say to them, you are the ones who are out of step with our society. You are the ones who willfully violate the meaning of the dream that is America. And this country, because of such what it stands for, will not stand for your conduct.
There are cities in Michigan. Art, shut up.
We don't have that kind of willpower anymore. And it is bankrupting our country. We need to have, you know, we have a leader who can't read his teleprompter without reading the instructions. Four more years. Pause. And then they start. Four more years. This pause. This is where we're supposed to start cheering. Friends, clarity is a gift to life. To know what is right, to know what is wrong, to know it firmly, and to be able to act upon it actually helps everybody. So enough of the nonsense. Good for Texas, good for Florida. Put the kids in jail that break the laws and send everybody else home. Kevin McCullough, coming right back from New York.
I knew it.
Come on, Kev. What's a few classified documents between friends?
I told you all the time. I knew it. I knew he had some, too.
Here he is. That Kevin. Kevin McCullough.
And we're back. Kevin McCullough from Times Square. Literally delighted to have you here. Thank you for being here. My next guest is someone who knows the ins and outs of presidential campaigns and politics and briefing rooms and press rooms because he spent his entire career in all of those. He's been a key press aide to several of my favorite people on planet Earth, not to mention two of the past most successful governors for the state of Arkansas. But here he is talking about America First, back with that Kevin. It's J. Hogan Hidley. J. Hogan Hidley. Hey, hello, Hogan.
Hidley's fine. Whatever. It all
you know
works.
You know what I always think? Your name gives me a very positive association with my childhood, and that is because Hogan's Heroes was such a wonderful show in my family's life when I was really little. And I always think of positive things when I hear the word Hogan. So
I keep trying to make Hulk Hogan stick, but it just seems for whatever reason, it goes back to Hogan's Heroes instead. I really want to take that route, but you know,
yeah, no, I understand. Either way, friendly for the family and a patriotic American theme in both cases. Hey, one of the things you've been really talking about since the 2020 elections, like basically the night of the election, is the need to improve voter integrity and election integrity issues across the board. I want to kind of unpack some things because I'm asked regularly, Hogan, Kevin, you're a soothsayer. You make these maps, you see things. And I think that if we had strong voter confidence and election integrity in place in 2020, I think my map would have, I don't think I would have missed on that map. And I had not missed in a few election cycles. So I was, my confidence was very shaken. But one of the things I'm looking at are where the integrity issues have been addressed and the types of changes being made. And are they enough for the voters to feel like this is going to be a closer to fair election than what we had in the 2020 cycle? And I'd like to peel down some of the specific states in a second. But overall, what is your feeling about where we are headed in terms of the integrity election?
Well, we are a lot better off now than we were in 2020. And we're better off now than we were in 2022. We still got a long ways to go in a lot of these states because you're always going to have the Californias of the world and the New Yorks where it's like Thunderdome. Anything goes. You just show up to vote. You don't need a ID to prove you are who you say you are. You can turn them in for weeks at a time. No one cares. So those kind of states are going to be problematic for a long time. But one of the things we've kind of done at America First Policy Institute is really go to work with the state legislatures because you know that the Constitution says it's up to the state legislatures to decide the time, place, and manner of elections. And what we saw in 2020 was kind of a uniform effort from rogue governors and secretaries of state, attorneys general, just to election boards, just to either change laws days before the election or ignore written law. Pennsylvania is a great example of that. I mean, almost 3 million ballots came in via mail. Not a single one of those was signature matched. Now, that's a violation of state law. That doesn't mean 3 million Democrats got together and said, watch this, we're going to kind of flip the election here. But what it does mean is it allows for a lot of shady stuff to go on when you don't follow the laws that are in place that are designed to protect legal votes and legal voters. And so we've worked to pass around laws, some form of election integrity, whether it be some more restrictions on mass mail-in or drop boxes or voter ID requirements or ballots being returned to election officials by election day. We've done that in about 35 states, so we've seen a real increase in some of that activity. But even more so than that, I think moving into 2024, what you're going to see, people are now paying attention to this when they weren't before. You heard complaints after the election from the right and the left. People on the Democrat side were furious with elections. Every time they lose, people on the right, same way. But now we see more people paying attention. So we have people being trained to be poll watchers and poll workers. So they're in the room seeing what's going on. It's going to be a big help.
Now, let me pause that train of thought for a second, because now with Laura Trump assuming the co-chair at the RNC, and she was on my show just a few weeks ago, and one of the things she said blatantly was, we don't like ballot harvesting, but where it's legal, the Republicans are going to become better at it than Democrats. Is that consistent with the efforts of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we don't like those rules, but think of it like this. If I told you in football, for example, American football, you can score points running the ball, throwing the ball, and kicking the ball, it would be like Republicans saying, okay, fine, but I don't think it's really moral to run the ball or throw the ball, so we're just going to score kicking the ball. That's fine, but you're going to lose a lot of football games. The same thing applies here. If that's the law, you have to do it better than the other side, and I'll point you back to Facebook. Barack Obama in 2012, what he did with Facebook, remember all the praise? No one has ever done anything like this on Facebook. Watch him. Look what he did. And then 16 rolls around and Trump outperforms Hillary on Facebook. And what is the Democrat response? We should probably ban Facebook from getting involved in elections. Same thing applies here. If we out-ballot harvest, I guarantee you they will want to change those laws. And that's something we're looking for them to do, because it really does open the door for a lot of fraud.
Well, and the idea is Republicans have to be kind of savvy enough to understand that if you're in a state where ballot harvesting is being done, then bank your vote, get it in, make sure it counts, make sure you get all your friends to vote, get everyone you know to vote, and get them to vote within the period as set up by the law. But in those states where it's not, show up, get all your friends on election day, go there on that day, do the same thing. But in either case, we need to be playing with the full force. I've kind of likened it to the designated hitter in Major League Baseball. Why would you let your pitcher take an at bat if you could put a 300 average hitter in that same batting lineup? We don't want to do that. We want to win by the rules of the game. Let's drill down now on some of the specifics. Now, I've seen a lot of polls in the last few days, Hogan, that Trump's leading in all of the swing states. The one that he's not leading in, he's tied. This is a difference in public polling from where they were at this time in the 2020 cycle. Biden was ahead only by a percent or two, but in most of those states. Those seven, eight, nine swing states, those are the ones that we know already in advance are going to come down to a late night total, you know, something's going to happen. Someone set off a fire alarm in an election counting processing plant somewhere, you know, wherever it is. What are we doing in those 7, 8, 9 states specifically? And what's kind of the report card from where we were in 2020?
Well, a lot. And I mentioned before, I work with Kim Blackwell, who's, former elected official there in Ohio. Great guy. Knows a lot about this, has been doing this for decades, goes all over the world helping countries fix their elections. So he knows a lot about it. He and I have been working in a lot of these states to pass those good laws. But I think one of the most important things I mentioned off the top, we always joke that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And so make sure people are there in the rooms watching this. They know what to look for, who to report to should something happen. And when that first level, someone kind of throws up their hands and says, I don't do that, whatever, we have a backup for them to go to as well. So it's poll watcher and poll worker training sessions. We just had one with over 100 people in Wisconsin. And also, it's not just, little old ladies or little old men. It's a lot of concerned citizens, my age.
Of all ages now.
And younger. Yeah. And military people who say, no, I want to be in there, too, to watch what's going on. That, to me, is really encouraging, because it's that hand-to-hand combat, that local involvement that's going to fix it.
He's Hogan Gidley. I'm Kevin McCullough. We're coming right back from Times Square. Stay with us.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next. Show with Kevin McCullough.
And we're back. It is Kevin McCullough, thatkevinshow.com for all info, thatkevinstore.com for all merch. And love having Hogan Gidley back with us, even if I mispronounce his name from time to time, because he is so laser focused on what I think has been the most important issue for at least two election cycles. And you know where it paid off, Hogan? And we think of 22 as kind of a not successful campaign cycle. But on the local races where you had local involvement of mothers and fathers voting for school boards, they weren't able to fix those races. They weren't able to do anything funny about those. And we flipped 50 of the most hardened progressive school boards in the country, giving them control back to parents again. And so it can happen and it will work. And I believe that we've made a lot of progress. Recently, a couple of states, well, actually, Wisconsin's made a lot of news over the last 4 years because they basically had their entire COVID-19 protocol for the elections be put in front of the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, nope, none of this works. It's all unconstitutional. But even recently, there's been some additional news out of Wisconsin. What was it?
Well, there are two ballot referendums. What we saw, and they passed, and they were good for protecting legal votes and legal voters. I think... one of the most fascinating things we've seen is while we do go through legislatures and legislatures will pass good bills, Democrat governors just veto it, say, no, sorry. So what we've done is devised plans to go around that via the people and do ballot referendums. And there were two specific in Wisconsin. One was the banning of Zuckerbucks, which, as you know, and your audience will remember, a lot of outside money coming in using private dollars to administer public elections, a big problem out there. And of course, all that money went only into Democrat precincts, only into Democrat counties to drive up their vote, which has been well documented at this point. So the people rejected that, voted for us and for integrity. And the second one was basically making sure that people who administer elections are election officials, not volunteers from the outside. We saw some of this, not in Wisconsin, but in Virginia, where we would see a sign outside of a polling location that says, you know, seasonal guest workers inquire within. And we would go in and ask questions like, what does this mean? And they would say, oh, well, we're kind of understaffed, so we just let people here on visas vote, help with our elections and count all the votes. And we're like, well, that's illegal. And so in Wisconsin, we took some of the lessons we learned in other states and said, let's make sure we have those election officials doing the job because they can be held accountable. That also won as well. So two significant victories for election integrity there.
Well, the other thing, and you referred to it earlier in the last segment, but in Nevada and in Pennsylvania, signature verification was thrown out the window. They literally in Nevada went from it has to be on a scale of 1,000 to 1,000 by comparison. It could be normally in a normal election, they'd say, well, if it was 800 out of 1,000, it would count in terms of matching the signature. They literally lowered it to 0 out of 1,000. So you could have signed an X with a black line next to it, and it would have counted as a ballot signature. I don't know what the standards were in Pennsylvania, but I know that they were largely ignored. What are we seeing as it regards signature validation?
Well, again, Pennsylvania is one of those states, as I mentioned, that just ignored their own state law, which says you have to validate signatures. Georgia had a validation issue as well. You said they also lowered the standards quite a bit. And it's interesting because the rejection rates for those mail-in ballots were typically in the 30 percentile range. They dropped to like single digits in a lot of these states. So it was clear they were just letting ballots through. But Pennsylvania itself just had a big win on election integrity, too, with the Supreme Court there, made up by mostly Democrats, pointed to the fact that you really have to have the ballot dated properly or it's not going to count. You have to have it filled out properly. It's not going to count. Interestingly enough, some of those judges were appointed by Obama and Clinton and others. So there are, you know, there were Democrats who decided this. But what I really always, when I'm dealing with members of the media and people on the left, some of whom are still my friends, I try to point out, why are you guys always trying to say you don't need a voter ID to vote? Why are you trying to say you can cast ballots for 45 days? Why are you trying to say signature verifications don't matter or that ballots can come in after Election Day and still be counted? Why are you always trying to lower the standard for safety and security in our elections? They don't have an answer for that. They point to voter suppression as the issue. But remember, you talked about Georgia earlier. It was a big law that was passed there when the left went crazy and said it was Jim Crow 2.0 and all these racists in Georgia are doing this. They moved the All-Star game out of Georgia that hurt black businesses, by the way, and sent it to Colorado, you know, more white, obviously, than Georgia is. And what happened in that election? It skyrocketed participation rates in the black community, went up like 200%, over 100% in the white community, because people stood back and went, wait a minute, I feel like I have a say-so that's going to count now because I have greater protections on my sacred voice and my sacred vote. That's what happens because of this. It's not suppression. People then want to participate in a process where they think their ballot matters.
It actually counts for something, which is what it should, but only legal ones should count.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
Thank you once again. Thank you, Lonnie Perkins. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. Whether you're hearing us on radio or seeing us on television or streaming us on the web somewhere, we have come to that part of the program, my friends, where we are going to have a mugging of New York City size proportion. And it is to be of note that I'm holding up these beautiful That Kevin Show mugs in front of the skyline of New York. So it's a literal New York of or mugging of New York size city proportions. Anyway, we have so much fun. And yet to come on tonight's show, we've still got an enormous show for you. If you're a regular listener to my daily radio show, you know, for the past couple of weeks, you've been hearing advertisements for this new movie, Unsung Hero. We played you the trailer last week. It's the true life story of the lives of the music artists Rebecca St. James and For King and Country, two very, very successful and very independent acts. But they all came from the same family. And Helen Smallbone, the mother of Joel and Luke Smallbone, who make up the For King and Country duo, and the mother of Rebecca St. James, I'm sure she's a Smallbone somehow, I don't know, but her public persona is Rebecca St. James. Anyway, the mom is going to be with us tonight and tell us kind of the backstory of where this movie came from and what the life was like. But if you know anything about them, they came from Australia, came to America under very difficult circumstances, and kind of went through like a trial by fire before they actually, you know, hit it big. The movie's opening this weekend. It's supposed to be doing phenomenally. And we will check in with the Smallbones. And then For King and Country, they're in the music spotlight tonight. Coming up next, and then in the second hour, but this is the fifth time that we're going to have to start giving out jackets or something, you know, the five timers jackets. But this is the fifth time they've made it to the new music spotlight, and we couldn't be happier than all get out to have them with us. Now, it is time to draw a name for the winner of tonight's mug. And the way you win a mug, by the way, we're giving them away for the rest of the calendar year through 2024, every weekend, we're going to give away a That Kevin Show mug. And you can get the beautiful white one with the black logo and the black trim on the handle and on the inside. Or you can just get the glossy black one with the beautiful white logo. But in either case, they are just gorgeous, gorgeous mugs. And what could be better than to wake up in the morning, come downstairs, open the cabinet, and have this beautiful thing looking at you saying, "Put your coffee in me." Anyway, I'm not telling you whether I have coffee in this tonight or not. That would be against that would violate the principles of sourcing or something. I don't know. Anyway, but here's how you do it. If you want to register for your chance to win, just send us an email to thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com. Put in the subject line mug or mugging or something to do with a mug. It doesn't have to be anything exact, as long as the word mug is in there somewhere. I guess you could put the word smug and it would still count because the word mug is actually in there. Smug mug, You got it. Anyway, send us that email to thatkevinshow@gmail.com. In the email, do this. Tell us which mug you want. Do you want the white one or the black one? But we can't read your mind. We're not soothsayers here. We don't have any divination prowess. We just need you to communicate. But tell us whether you want the white mug or the black mug. And then as we draw names each week from now through the end of 2024, your chance to win. You're automatically registered for the rest of the year. And the only way you become unregistered is if you win. So lucky for you. ThatKevinShow@gmail.com, ThatKevinShow@gmail.com, and then put mug in the subject line. Give us the mug you would prefer in the body of the email. And one other thing, we can't send it to you if we don't have your address. So you got to put the snail mail in there too. But if you don't, we can also write you back and say, hey, tell us where to send this thing. Anyway, we're gonna draw a name here momentarily. But I just wanted to say, these are really fun. I hope that you're enjoying them, and I hope that you enjoy that. Now, we've also been asking the winners of the mugs to send us, you know, little snapshots, and we've had a couple that have been sent in already. But tonight, I gotta now Nancy won a few weeks ago. She got her mug, but she didn't send. She did send a picture back with her in the mug. But she look at these guys. She's an animal lover. So she's got, look at this cute little pupster. He likes to drink water from the mug. And then the cats each got their own. I don't know, Nancy, you must've bought like half a dozen of these, but thank you for your support. And if you would like to buy mugs for your animals or yourself or your family, you can go to thatkevinstore.com. thatkevinstore.com will get you there. But that's always fun. But yeah. What an ingenious, beautiful way. Your cat likes to drink ice cold water. Get the little kitty drink from the that Kevin Show mug. I won't be offended. But thanks for sending the pictures. And if you win and you receive your mug, please send us your pictures. Or if you purchase a mug and you're out and about with it somewhere, original, send it to us. We'll feature you on the That Kevin Show mug stuff as we go forward. Again, send those emails to thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com. What else do we have coming up in the next hour? Oh, yes. I'm very excited to report to you tonight about our progress with our slave liberation project as well. We will have an update on that in the second hour. And tonight, for Assignment Desk Weekend, we may have the best collection of stories that we've ever put on Assignment Desk Weekend. I'm just saying, They're pretty good. Even my 14-year-old boy is going to be possibly offended, but hopefully entertained by the news tonight. And then for the first time ever, and I've been looking forward to this, the Babylon Bee is going to join us in the mugging. Now, want to say congratulations to Victor Fanberg of Dublin, Ohio, because Victor is tonight's winner. And Victor just registered this last week. Victor, thank you. You will be receiving the mug of your choice. I believe you indicated which mug you wanted in the email. I'll have to go back and look at that. But thank you. And again, if you have not yet been mugged but would like to be, thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com. And then be listening or watching every weekend here on That Kevin Show for your chance to win. So coming up, Babylon Bee. And who else do we have? We've got the Assignment Desk Weekend, Helen Smallbone, For King and Country. It's a big, big hour number two on the way. I hope you'll stick around. Coming up next, debuting on their fifth appearance in the spotlight, it's For King and Country.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough. Serving it up with a no-drink minimum. It's That Kevin Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, next hour coming up, the mother of these two young men, Joel and Luke Smallbone. Their older sister you may know as Rebecca St. James, but their family's story is the subject of the new movie Unsung Hero. And here they are with the title track on That Kevin Show.
Once upon a time, you were 25. woken up the aisle. You made the promise of your life. Blinked twice and you were 29. Singing lullabies. And I looked up at you for the first time. Words fall short, but I am sure they'll never be anyone like you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. When I was in trouble, you never left me there. And you love like your mother, like there's nothing. Song for you. Woke up, I was 21, and I fell in love. Remember how I told you that I'd search the world and I found the girl, and oh, how she reminds me of you.
Strong like my father, even when I'm scared. And when someone's in trouble, I'll never leave them there. And I love like my mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're my unsung hero, and I sing this song for you.
Spotlight on Spotify or Apple Music.